Was with me. We are on this series, this thought of how am I going to have the best year that I've ever had. And I'm going to have to settle down here for a few weeks. I'm going to have to kind of hunker down and deal with this in a three parts. This one part is really a three part. And I'm going to have to break it down and have understanding in this one area. We've talked about so much last week of having the faith that can create miracles, your walk with God. We've talked about how you talk, and we have begun with getting rest and being the person you need to be as far as resting and preparing yourself, talking, believing for miracles as what you live and what you act out. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be dealing with an issue that's very touchy, and I've just gone ahead and jumped off in this. And I've kind of entitled this message today, Tithing, Absolutely New Testament. Of all the issues that get dealt with in our time, of all the things that the enemy uses right now to hold you, to keep you from being blessed, it is in the mindset of giving, tithing. It is the only area in which God can release blessings that He wants to get into your life. It's the only way. And we have sold ourselves into so much of this mentality today of entertainment, which means that literally I'm going to pay to be entertained for just a moment, but it's not going to last me. Therefore, just like a drug addict or anyone else, I've got to go and get better entertainment. If I have three channels on my television, it won't satisfy me. I've got to get 24 channels. And once I get 24, then the package comes out and says, for the next 2 years, for only $29.99, we'll give you 144 channels. I mean, you will be happy if you get 144. And if you get the 144, you're going to flip through there and still find stuff that you can't have unless you pay extra to get that show or that movie or that. It never ends. Because they understand in our day and time what we're built for. We're so entertainment driven that we think, well, it's only $5 more. It's only this. And before long, we spend our money, but we spend it on things that we wonder, well, how come I'm not getting the return that I want? So I want to just jump right off into this, and I want you to understand that this is how a person is blessed. And I live this, and I have lived this all pretty much most of my life. And I'm ashamed sometimes. I know that doesn't sound right, but you have to understand I'm a quiet person. You can call me humble if you're around me and you think I'm humble, that's great. But I can honestly tell you I'm a quiet person. I'm not as outgoing as you might think most preachers ought to be. I don't just like jumping up in people's business. That's not my mentality. And so when it comes to my blessings, I'm very kind of thrown back. I know I'm going to get them. I know it's going to happen. But when it happens, I think of how somebody else is going to think about it or how someone else is going to receive it. And God's like, Tim, you're going to either have to accept that I'm good to you. And I'm good to you for this very reason that you do what you do. You give. And you have always been a giver. One scenario that's happened recently I can explain. Taylor, I've always told him, I said, one of the greatest gifts he has is his brain. That's one of his greatest gifts. If you hang around Taylor, he's a very smart kid. And, that was different for me because I was not very smart and I could run into things real hard. And so I became a better athlete in that way. I didn't have a whole lot of brain power because if somebody said, hit that, I didn't think twice. Hit it. Taylor was smart enough to realize early. He said, Dad, that hurts. And I never thought about that. Yeah. And now I'm 46 years old and I'm like, yeah, I can't raise my arm in the morning. I can't sleep on one side a lot of times because of all the things I ran into and tried to outrun at the same time. And so in this, we've been praying. Taylor, has been taking ACT, and he's had a few opportunities, some great opportunities. He had a rural medical scholarship he got to go to and spend this last summer at Mississippi State taking classes, one of only 20 kids in the state that got elected to that. And that's just blessings. And we've been praying because Taylor's been hitting in the 20s on his ACT, been hitting in the 20s. And I know that's good because I'm 15. I hadn't needed a 15 to get into college, and that's what I got. I feel your pain. But Taylor had been taking it 25, 26, 28, 20 this. And I'm thinking, And Elise is more in the mindset of that kind of stuff, education and things. And so she was like, you know, Taylor, if you can hit this. And 30 became what they prayed about. 30 was the number, you know, and I can't imagine a 30. And Taylor took it several times, and he didn't hit a 30. And he has until December, the end of December, for his final ACT test to attach to his next year's college. So this was the last test. He took it in early December. And we were at my mom's house or somebody's house the other day, and Elise just goes berserk. And she shows Taylor her phone, and I'm thinking, there's got to be some cool picture on Facebook. That's the way my brain thinks. Because I'm not there again. I'm not the educated person. I'm thinking, it must be a cool, funny picture. I want to see the picture. And all of a sudden, she said, look at this. And he hits a 30. And what that means is, for a poor preacher, it means that, hey, he can go to college at EC, and not only is his schooling taken care of, his books are paid for, but now his living, as far as staying there, is paid for. Basically, I don't owe anything much other than feeding that kid to send him to college. Now, I know you're looking, see, and it bothers me because some of you will think, well, there he is, Brad. I'm just telling you that blessings are part of what God wants to put in your life. And if you don't want them, then don't worry. Just keep not giving. Just keep your life pointed the way it's going, and you won't have a problem with having too much. But if you want a life this year, does that mean that everything works out good for you, Pat? No, I told you, I've been drudging through this thing over here for 5 years. It don't mean it's going to work out easy all the time. It just means that God's going to be in the middle. And God will work it out, and He will make everything a blessing if you put it into His hands and you make Him the priority of your life. Now, turn with me in your Bibles, and let's go to Genesis 14. If we're going to talk about this being New Testament, then we need to start from the questions and the problems that we always run into. The first question is always, well, we're not under the law anymore. You know, the law says that you have to pay tithes, and there was a tenth of the tithes and all of that. And I understand that, that there was a law given by God, and we are not under that law anymore. Jesus has paid the price for that law. But I want to show you some things in the Bible that might help you and open your eyes towards some stuff. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him, meaning Abram, and he blessed Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him, what? Tithes of all. Now this is only three lines in this little story, only three little verses. We don't know anything about Melchizedek before. We don't know anything about Melchizedek afterwards. There's no other record of him. There's nothing in that way. We don't know where he came from. We don't know anything about him. We just know that he was the king of Salem, and he was also the high priest of Salem. And because of this, whatever prestige or honor or whoever he was, God used him in a special way. He used him in such a powerful way that Abram, when he is coming back from war and he sees Melchizedek coming, he says to himself, revealed by God, this person is special. This person is different. This person is to be honored. This person is to be respected. It's not just anybody. Abram could have said, look, I'm just as rich as anybody else. I've probably got more than King Salem of Salem right now. I'm a very wealthy man. I am the most powerful man in this region of the country. But yet when Melchizedek shows up, he shows up with two specific things. He shows up with wine in one hand and bread in the other. Now we just did a communion service the other night. Does anybody understand that what this symbolizes? He is showing up, Melchizedek, and he says, I'm bringing myself, and I'm bringing to you, Abram, wine, and I'm bringing to you, Abram, bread. I'm bringing you the blood, and I'm bringing you my life. I'm bringing you everything that is. He symbolized of all the things that he could have brought. Of all he could have brought him a piece of water. He could have brought him something simple. But he brings wine and he brings bread. The same thing that Jesus would use years later to symbolize that this is my body and this is my blood. Why is this so important? Because when he presents that to Abram, Abram says, I honor you. Now here's what Melchizedek's role is. He looks at Abram and says, blessed be you, Abram. And Abram says, a tenth of what I have, I give to you. That's incredible. Now, notice now, a few years later, Abram's grandson, we're just going to skip over Isaac, who also was this tither. But let's just go to Genesis 28 and verses 20 through 22. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, I will give and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give what? A tenth or a tithe unto you. So we understand that from his grandfather, he is taught, listen, you give a tithe unto God. You always tithe unto God. He taught it to Isaac. Isaac taught it to Jacob. And it became part of their very mindset. Now, when somebody comes to me and says, well, you know, Pastor, the law is gone. You know that we're not under the law to tithe anymore. That's Old Testament law that you have to tithe. Can I remind you that the law was 600 years later than Abraham? There is no law at this time. There is no law. In fact, it's nearly 500 years from the time of Jacob that the law is ever written and penned by Moses that you're going to pay a tithe. What he's trying to say here is, listen, tithing was introduced, giving to God, way before there was ever any law to do it. There is something connected. There's something connected in the mind of God that says, if you will do this, then it's going to release things in me. If you will do this, something is going to happen in the supernatural. I have created it this way. And whether you're a church person or not a church person, whether you're a great Christian or a little bitty Christian, here's my process. Here's the way I work. That if you are a tither, then I am somebody who is going to remember you. I am someone who is going to bless you. It is the way I operate in the heavens. Now, let me show it to you this way. Go with me to Leviticus 27 and verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is what? The Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. Next verse. Hold that right there. God says, here's the way I operate. You've got to get this in your mind. How much does God own? God owns it all, but not really. God has made a covenant with us. And He says, in reality, I could look at you and say, I own it all, and I want it all. But God in Himself said, I tell you what, I own it all, but I really don't. I will just do this. I will take claim to a tenth of it. I will demand a tenth of it. Now, I could ask for all of it. That's why people have such a problem now. Because they think it's my house, it's my car, it's my money, it's my... No, no, God owns it all. Where we get confused is that there seems to be this looseness and well, God's not bothering me, and look, I'm able to do, and God's not hurting me. It's because God is automatically letting you operate in the 90%. It's automatically yours. Look at the person beside you and say, God has declared that 90% is yours. But now look at them and say, God has also declared, you had better not touch the tenth. And this is what God has established. This is what, going all the way back to Adam, all the way through Abram, they understood. They didn't need a law to understand this. It was just taught to them by God. It was as simple as breathing. Is that, listen, that's not all mine. A tenth of it is God's. I am got to give a tenth. When Jacob is in a distress, he's saying, listen, God, I know how this works. And if you'll bring me back, I will give a tenth of what it, because it belongs to you. He understood this way before a law was ever introduced. The law was only introduced to let them know that, look, this is a law. It has to be done. You will be hurt if you don't do this. That's why when we get to Malachi 3, people mess this scripture all up. Because if you don't understand this part, then you don't understand Malachi. In fact, if I had time, I'd go back a verse or two in Malachi, and it would say that God says to return unto me. Return to me. See, that's what we think when we get backslid or we get away from God and we're like, I need to return to God. I need to return. Well, understand this. When you say I need to return to God, God has a specific mind and a specific thought that you have to return. And here's the way His mind works. When you go to Malachi 3, it says, God says, return unto me. Return right now. And they ask the question, how are we going to return unto you? What do we need to do? He doesn't say, you need to pray. You need to have a revival. You need to sing. You need to do... You know what God says? God says this right here. Will a man rob God? He just changes it on. They're going to ask a question like, well, what do you want us to do? You want us to have longer church services, you want us to do... No. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to quit robbing me. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In the... There's a tenth that belongs to me. You can't bargain with it. You can't play with it. You can't say, I'm going to get around to it. It comes off the top. It is mine. And you can't say, I would have given this, but I didn't have it. No. It comes off automatically. You can't play with that part. Some of you, your lives are where they are today because you just tip God and you don't tithe to God. You keep tipping when you have an opportunity. You're going to catch up. Let me tell you something, what it says. Go to the next verse. You are cursed with a curse. I don't care how much you say, I'm saved. That has nothing to do with this. I don't care how much you say, I praise God, I'm going to heaven. Absolutely. And you go to heaven at $300,000 in debt and can't handle $10 in your pocket. You can go as messed up to heaven as you want. We're not talking about salvation, but God is saying, listen to me, don't play with me here. There is a tithe, whether it's of the land, of the fruit, or whatever it is you've got, it comes off the top. It belongs to me. And if you mess with that, it automatically invokes a curse on your life. You're stealing from me. You're taking what doesn't belong to you. One of the hardest lessons I have to teach my kids, whether it's Christmas or it's birthdays or whatever it is they have to tithe on every single bit of it. You know how hard it is to look at an 11-year-old boy when he gets $100 from everybody, and I look at him and say, you owe God 10. Huh? There. You get to keep the 90. That doesn't belong to you. My grandmother taught me this, who lived to be 100 years old. Was blessed with three preachers, one grandson who's a preacher, and they don't tell how many people bled to the Lord by her family. But you know what my grandmother would do? She would sit down at Christmas, and when people would mail her money, mail her gifts in the mail, she would estimate how much they cost. She would estimate, and she would sit down and pay tithes on every gift that ever came into her house. She did not play with what blessings came into her. I don't really want to live to be 100 years old, but I might mess up and just do myself that way. If I just keep giving and keep doing, you know what? God's going to say, you just got to bless you, Tim. I just got to do it. There are people that are not saved that will give thousands of dollars to churches and ministries. You know why? Because they understand that principle better than a lot of you sitting in these chairs. They understand, hey, if I'm going to get blessed, I want God on my side. Now, they're not going to talk about it. They're not going to get, but they understand one specific thing. Look, if I trust God and don't rob God, God will bless whatever I put my hands to. Now, I know I done made you mad, but this is biblical. Go with me to Leviticus 27 and verse 31. If a man will at all redeem of his tithes, he shall there add to a fifth part thereof. Now, if a man will at all redeem or aught of his tithes, he shall add thereof to a fifth part thereof. It goes back to what we talk about robbing God and stealing from God. This is why when in the New Testament, when we go to Zacchaeus' house, Zacchaeus, that's why the first thing that he did, well, he knew when I got right with God, when Jesus came into my house, what was the first thing he did? He stood up and said, Lord, if I've robbed anybody, I'm going to make it right. And I'm going to give half of everything I own. And you know what Jesus said about that? He said, today, salvation has come into this house. For some of you, it's going to hurt for salvation to get to your house. It would hurt. Because you've been robbing and robbing and robbing for a long time. And tipping for a long time. And you wonder why my prayers don't get answered and why healing doesn't happen in my life and why things don't... It's not a secret, guys. God has a record and He keeps that record. And Jesus looks at you just like He looks at Zacchaeus and says, today, salvation. He's not talking about just the fact that you know who I am, Zacchaeus. He's talking about now I can bless you. Now there's good stuff coming your way. This is the way God operates. Yeah, you can control your talking. You can get plenty of rest. You can believe in for miracles and live your life. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're constantly stealing, it's going to shut off the flow of what God wants to do. Now, let me see if I can help you a little more. Go with me to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 and verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not of every image of the thing, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. He's saying, listen, in the Old Testament, under the law and all this, you had to tithe, you had to give. But guys, understand that in this process, God was trying to always show you a better way. Everything about the law is trying to show you something. You're only seeing the shadow of something. Now, you might can make out what it is. I love the old cartoons. And because in the cartoons, they use shadows as a lot. And Tom and Jerry and different cartoons and old Looney Tunes I love to watch. You'd see the shadow. And man, they'd see the shadow coming and it was like 10 times bigger. But they can make out what it was, but they couldn't really tell what it was. And Paul is saying, listen, it's like a shadow. You see the outline of it, but you can't quite tell what it is. And that's what they lived in the Old Testament. Let me give you an example. The Passover lamb. Every year they would take the Passover lamb and kill the lamb and eat it, bitter herbs, and it was supposed to be bitter and all of this. And they were to remind themselves that they came out and did all this. Well, guess what? They don't do that no more. Because Jesus, when He came and died, became the Passover lamb, and Jesus took away the sins and kept death away from their door, and Jesus became that. It was a shadow in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament, Jesus fulfilled it. It works the same way in every process. And the tithe in the Old Testament, God is trying to make them stay healthy. I'm going to do this whether you want to or not. I'm going to force you because you don't understand and you can't see. So I'm just demanding that you give. Why? Because I'm saving you from yourself. In the New Testament, we don't do it begrudgingly. That's why He says, be a cheerful giver. Why? Because we have understanding that nobody else has. Go with me to Malachi 3, 9 through 11. I'll show you what I mean. God doesn't do this to hurt you in any way. This is just the way it's set up. This is the rules of engagement. This is the way the world works. And God's not going to change that. But here's why He wants you to give. Not because He needs anything. Not because He's got to have anything. Listen, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Why is he wanting it? Is he wanting it because he needs the cash? He's doing it because if you're going to get me to release my part, it's the only way I can release it. I'm desperate to release it. I want to release it. I'm not holding back in any way. But if you rob me, I cannot release what I want to release into your life. I'm held. I'm bound by my own words. I can't go against my own words. If you do this, I'm held. But if you will do, I make a promise. I will open up the windows of heaven and I will pour out blessings you cannot contain. I will give you more than you ever thought possible. I will do for you what I've always wanted, like a father that loves a child that is honored. I am going to pour out blessings that you won't know what to do with all of them. You say, Brother Lott, you believe that? I have motorcycles right now sitting in out here that's just dirty because I ain't got time to ride it. I got two boats now, one dinghy, one regular boat. I don't have time to fish. But I got them. What are you saying, Brother Lott? I'm telling you that God just says, if you put me first, if you love me, then Tim, I'm going to give you more friends and more time and more than you even have time. I have to be careful when I go to Garden Patch most of the time. Because if I go into Garden Patch and it's about 12 o'clock, here's a bunch of guarantee, I won't pay for my meal. Somebody in that room, by the time I get up to the counter, usually, somebody, Pastor Lott, is already taken care of. I don't know who I've been a part of. I don't know who I helped. I don't know who I prayed for. I don't know how they know me. But whoever it was that day, I just thank God. That's why I enjoy getting them sometimes. Kenneth was working with me the other day, and I got a chance to get it. And I was so happy and was doing that, And he's like, well, it'll come back to you. And I'm like, I know it will. But I've done realize I love to give. Why? Because God has said to him, if you will, I will open up the windows of heaven. And it isn't somebody else. It's me. I'm going to bless you. Your kids are going to do better on tests than they could have done normally. You're going to have more opportunities than you could have made yourself. Think about him going to that rural scholarship to medical. Scott Central. You couldn't have asked them in Mississippi State to find where that school was on the map. And yet they found one boy in the middle of Harperville, Mississippi. And I don't mean to embarrass Taylor. I don't mean to embarrass myself. I just mean it just is what it is. And I want you to come with testimony. Brother Lott, you won't believe. I got a text just this last week from somebody that said, Pastor Lott, you're right. Somebody, I was at a restaurant and somebody, you just said somebody was going to start doing stuff for us and getting stuff. And I said, absolutely, God's going to look for ways to bless you. God's going to look for opportunities to bless you. Even when I got a haircut yesterday, you're supposed to get one of those cards that says, hey, come back and here's some money off the next haircut. I got two cards. I said, here. She just handed me a handful of them. I get money off every time I get a haircut. I said, I never had this. You could say, well, you have to pay. I was going to have to pay more anyway. But every dollar, every dime, every opportunity, every time. That's what God wants to do in your life. That's how God wants to bless you. It's not like He's trying to get anything from you. He's trying to bless you. You've got to see it for what it is. If you let the devil tell the story, it's about him wanting your $10. If you hear God tell the story, it's because He wants to open the windows of heaven and give you what $10 could never buy you. That's what God is trying to say. Now, we can go through the Old Testament in several different ways. We can talk about Joshua, and that's one of my, favorite stories when you talk about tithing. Joshua is fixing to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. They walk over and they go across the Jordan. The first city they come to is Jericho. And God says, you can have all the land. You can have all the vineyards. You can have all the houses that you didn't build. You can have everything. But this first city is mine. And I don't know. I don't care what's in it. I don't care what gold is in it. I don't care what silver's in it. I want you to burn it all. I just want you to burn it and just let it be. And I don't want you to touch it. And one man named Achan, he saw a bag of money and he thought, well, that's a total waste to just burn that money. That's a total waste just to melt that right here and burn it in the city. I mean, it could be used for something. Ain't that what you say? It could be used for something. I mean, there's no sense in, I know better to do with that money than what God does. I'm just not going to do my tithe and I'm just going to find people I can help and I'm going to hold on to the money and I'm going to do what I think needs to be done. Welcome to Achan's world. And Achan left that place with what was God's. And Achan lost his life, his family, and everything he had. A few months later, Achan could have been living in a farm. He could have been living with a vineyard. He could have been living in a house he didn't build. But because he wanted one bag of money, it cost him everything. In the New Testament, let's get there. If I said it's New Testament, let's break all this in. Go to Matthew 6 and 33 with me. I want to show you a few scriptures before I hunker down in Hebrews. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be what? That's a New Testament version of Malachi. Jesus preaches the same thing. He says, listen, serve God, honor God, and God will open up the windows. God will meet your needs. If He knows about the birds and He knows about the flowers of the field, if He knows about, don't you think He knows about your needs? And He will meet your needs. That's God. Go with me to Luke 20 and 24. I'm not going to spend much time. I could preach this in about 8 weeks. But I don't want to just stay here that long. I just want to stay here for about 3 weeks. Is that okay? 3 hours each sermon and we'll just be through. When the Pharisees came to Him and tried to tempt Him about money, here's what Jesus said, show me the penny. Whose image and subscription is not hath it? And they said, Caesar's. Now, notice the next verse. And He said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's. And unto the things which be. So you think I was lying about God having a tenth. He says, listen, give to Caesar all. If he owe taxes, pay your taxes. Do your normal stuff. That's just living in this world. And there's always going to be people that's going to want your money. If you go to the grocery store, they're going to want your money. If you go over here. But listen to me. He didn't just end by saying, give to Caesar what Caesar's. He could have ended it. But He said, I want to be specific here. You give to Caesar what is Caesar. And you render unto God what is God's. Now, is that Old Testament or is that New Testament? That's New Testament. Let's go to the next scripture. Let me show it to you in Matthew 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, faith. Now, notice how He says this. These ought to have been done and not leave. These should have been done. You should have showed mercy and you should have done all this. And Jesus always has a beautiful way of saying it. And you should have done the other two. See, people fall from one end of it to the other. When I have people stand up here and become members, I always tell them, I need you in three areas to be faithful. I'm not going to check behind you. I'm not going to go looking for your W-2s. I'm not going. That's not my job. I'm not going to get in your business like that. But here's the deal. I need you with your time. I need you to be faithful to God. Spend time with Him. have a relationship with Him. Spend time with God. Whether it's at church, spend time with God. I need you to give your talents because there's certain things God has given you that it's to bless the whole body of Christ. It's not just about you. It's not you didn't have that voice just so you could sing in the shower and impress yourself. You were given that voice so that you could use it for God. You have the ability to talk. Everybody else says you're a big mouth. You just always like to talk and you like to talk. Well, God gave you that gift. So you need to be in a classroom somewhere talking for about 45 minutes to somebody who wants to hear what you're talking about and teaching and being. You have talents that have been given to you. And I like the way one guy says it. He says, I have talents on loan from God. Some of you have personalities and you have abilities. Those are talents on loan from God, and they are to be given to God. Your time, your talents, and I always say, your stewardship, your money. Now, I don't do that to hurt you. As you find out, when I'm standing here, you know what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, I'm doing this because I want you blessed. Because you can show up to church every single week and cry and complain about your life, but if you're robbing God every single week, and I tell you something, it ain't going to do no good for me to fast for you to be fasted over. We can line you up here and have everybody in the church come pray for you. But God's not moving because God's going to look at His record and say, y'all praying, I hear you praying, but look, that's a thief. Y'all don't know what I know. So in your life, it's your time, your talents, and what God's blessed. And God don't bless you with nothing. If you lose your job, you don't owe nothing. You can smile all day, great, I lost my job, I don't owe God a dime. You can just be the happiest person in town. I ain't got to pay nothing. Why? Because I ain't got no money. I've been living, waiting for this moment where I ain't got to give one dime to that church. I'm so happy I'm broke. But if God blesses you, whatever amount, be faithful with that blessing. Be faithful with it. And when we do that, we fall into these categories. Go back with me to Deuteronomy 26. Let me show it to you. Deuteronomy 26, verses 2 and 3. That thou shalt take the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall put it in the basket, and shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose a place, His name there. I could preach a while there. Be very careful where you choose to go to church. Make sure you hadn't picked the place to go to church. Make sure God is picking that place. I know this, I get picked at a lot, and people will say, now look, man, if you go to that church, you better know one thing. They're going to be all up on you. You're going to grow or you're going to have to quit. And at times that bothers me. But that is who we are. I do not want you here just to sit in a seat on Sundays and just never become any better. You may walk out that door some days mad as a hornet at me. You may think, he didn't have to go there. I don't know why he had to go there. You may look over at your mate and say, did you tell him something this week? Did you call him and talk about this? Because we just talked about this on the way to church. But just know this, that when you come here, you're coming to the place where God says, look, I'm doing something. I'm wanting to do something great, and I want you to be a part of it. I picked you specifically at this time and this season of your life to be a part of something that's bigger than you. If you're going to a church that is not bigger than you, that ain't much of a church. If you're going to a church where it's bigger than the pastor and it's bigger than the pastor's wife and it's bigger than the praise team and it's bigger than the teachers and it's bigger than a board meeting and it's bigger, it's God doing something and you see lives changed and you see, let me tell you something, God is all up in the middle of that. And you need to decide in your life, I want to be a part. And thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days. Let me say that one more time. Thou shalt go unto the priest that shall be in those days. So whatever priest is operating during those days, that's the one you give to. I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. Now, I said all this because I need you now to go to Hebrews with me. Hebrews 4 and 14. I told you I'd get there. We got plenty of time? I don't even have a watch on. We're looking good? All right, looking good. Hebrews 4 and 14. Let's walk through this, and I want to show you one, probably the scriptures to me that show tithing better than any scriptures in the world. We've already talked about a priest, and we've already talked about Abram, and we've talked about Melchizedek. Let's put it all together. Paul was a brilliant man. The writer of Hebrews was a brilliant man, and he knew how spiritually to tie that together. And notice what he does here. Hebrews 4 and 14. Seeing then that thou have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Seeing then we have a what? A great high priest that is passed into the heaven. In the Old Testament it says, as long as there is a priest, whoever the priest is at that time, that's who you are to give your tithes unto. Chapter 5 and verse 5 and 6. So also Christ glorified not Himself to be made a high priest, but He that said unto Him, Thou art My Son, today have I begotten Thee. And He saith also in another place, Thou art a priest, what? Forever. So today when I say I'm giving to the Lord, I'm not lying. Because when I give my tithes, what am I saying? Am I saying that Jesus is dead? Am I saying that Jesus has died and He doesn't live anymore? No. Every time I give my tithes, every time I step out and I walk up to the front and I put it in that, and I know some of us get them long faces like we just watch it go all the way to the bottom of the bag. Oh well. That's not the attitude God wants. He wants you to get the attitude that my Redeemer lives, that my High Priest is alive. That's why some people get caught up in ministries and not in God. I don't want to go there, but I got to. This is why some people, that if a pastor falls, they all quit church. Or if somebody that you kind of connected to isn't around anymore, you just drop off the deep end. Can I tell you why that is? It is because you don't believe Jesus is alive. Because your high priest is not Pastor so-and-so. It's not Reverend so-and-so. It's not the Bishop so-and-so. No. My high priest is not any of those people. When I come with my tithes, when I bring it to the church, I'm not responsible for what happens to it after that. They'll have to give an account for it. That's why we try to be very strategic. We have audits every 2 years. You can check our books. They're not cooked. They're not messed with. We have different board people that check and rotate, that count and take care of. There's not anything. There's nobody coming in to put handcuffs on Pastor Locke. I don't even have the ability to sign a check. That has to be all board driven. Why do you do all that, Brother Lott? Because I, just like you, I don't give to a person. I give unto God. When I look at Elise, I say, you got our tithes. Yeah. We give that unto the Lord. Why? Because my high priest lives. And I'm bringing it to the Lord. He's alive and He's well. And I'm not dropping it into some building program. I'm not dropping it in to see Pastor Lott buy new clothes. I'm not to see Sister Lott look a whole lot better and makeup and hairdos and all of this. That's not why we're giving our money. We're giving our money so that God can do His work. I get sick of people. What happens to all that money? Ain't none of your business. You came in today. Was there a place for you to park? Yes? Good. Did you have air conditioning or heating? Sometimes more of whichever one you don't want, we usually got. I'm burning up right now. I don't know how you feel. Lights, cameras, action. You got it all. Really and truly, it's none of your business. Once you give it to the Lord, it's the Lord's business. What happens to it? Don't worry. If I mess up, I'll have blood on my hands. I'll have to give an account for everything, because much given, much is expected and required. And I understand that. Go with me to Hebrews 7, 1 through 3. And this scripture where it says, thou shalt be a priest. And I didn't finish this, but after the order of Melchizedek. Notice how he does this. You shall be a priest unto me under the order of Melchizedek, says verse 6 of that verse we were just at. Notice he doesn't say after the line of Aaron. He doesn't say after the line of anybody else. It is a priesthood that has no beginning. And if I had time, we'd do all of Melchizedek through Hebrews. That has no beginning, that has no end. It is a royal priesthood that would never end. Jesus ain't going nowhere. Jesus will be your high priest today. He will be your high priest tomorrow. And if you ever make it to heaven, He's going to live in the kingdom with you, and He's going to be your high priest for eternity. He is our high priest. Now, Hebrews 7, 1 through 3 says it this way. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abram returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abram gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness and also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of a life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Go with me to verse 5 and 6. It never ends. For verily they that are the sons of Levi who receive the office of the priesthood have commandment of take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abram. Verse 6. But he whose descent is not counted from them receiveth tithes of Abram and blessed him that had the promise. Notice what his requirement is. Jesus' requirement is to take the tithes after the order of Melchizedek. And what is he to do? Look at the person beside you and say, Jesus is required to bless me. See, that's where preachers sometimes get it. And it bothers some of you that they've carried it to this point. And I agree, it's kind of a bad play on words. You hate to say that God is required or God is obligated. But by His Word, He has done it. He has obligated Himself. He has pinned Himself up. And He said, I have to do it. I must do it. And I don't like using those words, but that's the strongest language you can say, is that, look, God said if I did this, He would do this. And I'm holding God to what He said. And that's all He's saying here. Is that, listen, He is obligated, just like Melchizedek. If we are faithful to Him, He is faithful to bless us. Go to verse 7 and 8. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there He receiveth them. Remember what I said? Here you give tithes to who? All Seasons or Pastor Lot or whatever. But who's really receiving them? But there in the real heaven, He receives them. Of whom it is witness that He... See, you thought I was making that up. When you're giving your tithes, you are a witness that He is... That's why the devil don't want you tithing. Because you're declaring, Jesus ain't alive. You've declared. Because you wouldn't rob somebody who you knew was alive and going to come get you. Let's put it this way. If I told you, look, when you leave here today, there's going to be a cop right here at the forestry department. He's going to have the thing on, and I'm telling y'all, he's behind on his quota. So in other words, he needs to write a few tickets. Now I'm just going to let you know. How many of you would come out of here, squall your tires, and do 80 going through there? Not a single one of you. You'd slow down. Well, how fast are you going? 55? 55? And you'd look over and see that cop. You'd wave at him like you're the greatest citizen that America's ever had. God bless you. You get those bad people today. Because you believe that He's alive and He's there. What do you think you tell people when you say, look, I got to stand before God one day, but I'm going to rob Him. I got to meet Jesus one day, but I'm going to steal from Him today. What do you think you're telling somebody? He's not really going to get me. He's not really alive. I'm really not going to be held accountable for anything. There really is not going to be a cop at the end of that road. And when we give our tithes, when we give our offerings, when we're faithful to God in these ways, what we're telling ourselves and others is that my Redeemer lives. That's why the Scripture makes it so plain. It says, wherever your treasure is, there your heart is also. God tied it that way. I think He put something in us that likes money. I think He did. I think He put something in us, just tapped us. It said, I'm going to leave that there. Why are you going to leave that there? Because I want you to make a sacrifice of saying, I believe the cop is down the road. I believe my Redeemer, I'm going to have to stand before Him. I believe I'm going to have to give an account. I believe that. If I had time, I'd carry you to Hebrews 8, 1 through 5, and I'd share some more. But I don't. Let me go to two scriptures, and I'll show it to you in one picture. Hebrews 13 and 15. Can you pull that one up for me? And I'll let you go. Somebody say out loud those first two words. If He is our high priest, here's the way it works. By Him, let us offer the sacrifice of continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Here's what happens. Sam, stand up. We're going to say Charles is God. Okay. He'll feel good the rest of the day. He'll be telling Sandra, Pastor Lott said, I'm like God. Now, I want you to raise your hands and praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
All right. Now, do you think God heard that?
Sure.
No. Jesus caught it.
Okay.
Jesus caught it. And He offers it to who? See, a high priest is the only one that is still. That's what they're trying to show you in the Old Testament, is that there's a high priest between the people and there. That hasn't changed. We come boldly to the throne room of grace to make our confession, our profession, we make our request, we make. But who grabs them? Jesus, the high priest, turns around. Y'all think He's just sitting up there like, I'll be glad when He tells me to go get them folks. Jesus is working. Jesus is the high priest. He is working right now. When you offer up praise, when you offer up prayer, when you offer up tithe, when you offer up time, when you offer up a sacrifice, He grabs that and says, Father, look. Look, Father. He stands on your behalf. You offer up the praise, but by Him, therefore, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. That's part of His job. His first job is to receive. Abram gave tithe. But then Melchizedek, who is the high priest, did what? What did he do to Abram? He blessed him. Which one left there better? Abram went on to become a mighty, mighty man because of a blessing. Go with me to Philippians and I'll show you what I mean. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. The same way you offer and it has to be God in Him says, let's bless Him. I know His heart. I know Him. And I want you. So the riches come by Jesus and says, Sam, my Father, I want you to have this. I don't know if you know that's what's going on right now in your life. Jesus stands as the mediator between you and the Father. Father's not mad at you anymore. The Father has forgiven you through the blood of Jesus and His sins. There's certain sacrifices that never have to be made anymore. The sacrifice of repentance, the sacrifice of redemption. Jesus paid that on the cross. He paid for that one. But there has to be sacrifices because if there's nothing Because what's a priest's job? His job is to offer up. That's his job. His job. And if he has nothing to offer up, God says, I've got nothing First part of this sermon, point one, is understand the process by which God operates. If you want your life to be blessed in 2014, then you've got to offer up something to the high priest that he can offer to God. And then God, because he wants to so badly, like Malachi says, like Matthew says, I want to meet every need you have. I want to supply your needs. I want to be that kind of father. I don't want you to go to the grocery store and not have enough. I don't want you to look in your refrigerator and not have enough. I don't want you to complain all the time that you ain't got enough gas. You ain't got, your job is a dead end. It ain't going to. I want to open doors and nobody else can. But if I have nothing offered up, then I have nothing that releases me to offer back. I am blessed today. I know it bothers me to say that in some ways, but I am blessed because I understand the process by which God works. And I understand as I give, it releases God to not withhold anything from me. And that's why I don't need anybody or anyone else, because if God be for me, then who dare be against me? I always say this, that if somebody leaves, five better will come. How do you say that? Because God is always going to bless me as long as I don't cut off the flow between me and Him. As long as I come and I honor Him. As long as I declare before this world He is alive and well, and that I'm doing everything I can to share Him in this world. I'm doing everything I can to let this world know that He is alive, that He is God. If I have to stand in one place and preach for 30 years and just stand there in one spot, in one little town and say, this is my place, and I'm going to declare that God is alive and well. If that's all that I do, then I'm going to do it with everything that I've got, and I'm going to watch God bless me in the middle of places that He says you can't bless. I don't have to be in a giant city. I don't have to be in the right income level. I don't have to be in any of those places. God will find a way to get to me what I need. He will make a way because I am honoring Him. If you will honor Him with your life this year, then I promise you, God says, I am waiting to honor you. Will you stand? I don't know if they got all that on the tape. I hope. Will you pray with me, Father? I hope our understanding is open. There are other parts of this that I want them to see, and we will deal with this, but it starts this morning with us realizing that God, I honor You so that You can honor me. You are desperate to pour out blessings in my life. But it's not You, but it's me. I hinder You from being able to do with my time and my talents and my stewardship. God, I hinder You from being able to open doors and to do things that nobody else can do. God, I hinder You when I sit there in a chair trying to figure out how I'm going to work it out, how I need to make it right. We're looking at my checkbook and saying how I need to make these numbers work. God, we dishonor You when we do that. You have promised that You will meet our need. You have promised that we would not go begging for bread. You promised, God, that You would do that. And I am living proof that, God, You are faithful to Your Word. If I am nothing else, I am just a living example of that Your Word never, ever fails. God, I ask that 2014 be that for these people. It be that year. Don't let them rob you. Don't let them in any way cut off the flow of Your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.